Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger. I'm recovering from the flu, so I'm sorry I sound like this. And I make porn sometimes under the name Zella Tree. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex blogger, sex educator, and I just started a ManyVid store last week under the name Billy Lore, and that's where I do most of my porn stuff.
Congrats on the launch!
Woo!
Yay, so proud of you. I hope that you make many vids and many more vids, and many dollars, too.
I will do all of those things, in theory.
Excellent. Bad jokes, they're not really jokes. I'm curious how you chose your porn name, since we both started talking about our porn names right off the top. Like, what was your process like on that?
So I go to a baby names website and pick first names that I like. And then I start, like, I pick letters that I like and then look at all the first names that start with that letter and then make a list of first names. And I do last names. Sometimes I find them in the first name section and I'm like, that could be a last name. other times I'll go to, like, media that I like and pick characters' last names.
Mm-hmm.
Lore was listed as a first name, which it's not, but okay. it's just a lie. But I'm a storyteller. I really like looking into the lore of things and whatever, and it's just a cool word.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with that, and then once I have a list of first and last names, I go to namechecker.com, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can type in a username, and it'll tell you on every website if it's available. Mm-hmm. So if the domain's available, if Twitter, Facebook, if all of those people, if they have that username available. And it has really obscure sites, too. I think it still has MySpace. which would be on brand for me to have a MySpace,
really.
To be honest.
You need some emo, like, selfies on there.
BillyLore.com should just look like a MySpace page. if I can figure out how to do that, I might. Because right now it doesn't go anywhere. But I own, which is important, because if you're going to create a new brand, get it on every social media and get the URL. Just so that no one else can get it, and you can use those if you want to.
Yeah.
So that's what I do, and I put in all the names and eliminate any that are not available anywhere, because I don't want to have to do, like, Billy Lore XXX or Billy _ Lore or whatever. And then I narrowed it down to, like, 4 or 5, and then I, just kind of decided from there. For me, I had a couple of other names, but I really like one-syllable names, so that actually, like, mattered to me, because anything longer, I'm like, but, again, like, pick what works for you.
Yeah, I wish I had done the name checker thing before I chose the name Girly Juice for my blog, because I don't even have the .com, and I don't have @girlyjuice on Twitter. There is an _ in my Twitter name and my Instagram name. Oh well, regrets. My porn name choosing story is much more simple. I knew that I wanted a name that was both sexy and a pun.
Naturally.
Because I just kind of figured that was on brand. And I made a big list of, like, sex punny names. And, like, most of them were pretty cheesy. And I was like, I can't really imagine someone, like, calling me this.
Yeah.
I was envisioning, like, dirty talk and scenes and stuff. And then eventually I thought of the pun Zella Tree, which, like, most people, I think, when they hear that, don't realize that it's a pun, because, like, it doesn't really make sense. Like, why am I invoking the word Zella Tree in a porn situation? But I think for me, like, what I was thinking about was, like, what defines me as a sexual person? And I think enthusiasm, like, extreme enthusiasm, is one of the things that I think really defines me as a sexual person. So I was drawn to synonyms of enthusiasm, and then I eventually really liked the idea of being named Zella. Zella Tree worked out. Most people don't get it, though. Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I, like, when I said porn name, I think everyone goes to puns, and, like, mm-hmm. I'm not a punny person. Like, mm-hmm. that's not really my sense of humor, and, like, a lot of punny names, like you were saying, are very, like, not real words.
Yeah.
And not things that you could see being called. And that was one thing, like, I had a couple of names on my list that weren't punny, but, like, they were longer names, mm-hmm. and, like, in dirty talk or just being, like, yelled across a room or whatever, like, Billy seemed like it fit more. Yeah. Plus, it, like, we talked last week about how my kink age is, like, teenager when I'm doing age play type stuff, and mm-hmm. I feel like Billy plays into that a little bit too, like, it's a young-ish name.
Yeah, it's
I cute. Guess there are grown-ups named Billy, but eventually they gotta be grown-ups, but, you know,
there's, like, Billy Bob Thornton. I'm struggling to think of any others, but yeah, I think it's a cute name. I think it's on brand for you.
Yeah.
So we're talking about making porn this week. We did a whole episode about porn a while ago, but it was about consuming porn and watching porn and getting turned on by porn. But we've never really delved too deep into making porn and being in porn, which is something that both of us have done a fair bit of. So tell me about your experience in making porn. Like, how did this start for you and what have you done since then?
So I have wanted to do porn since I knew porn existed. like even stuff like Suicide Girls, I looked at it and was like, yes. I want to do that.
Yep, same.
I'm an exhibitionist. I like people paying attention to me. My Venus is in Leo, so anytime I'm into people, I'm like, look at me. Look at how great I am. I've always wanted to do it, but every time I dip my toes in it prior to transitioning, for some reason it felt, like, not great. Mm-hmm. Like, I did a photo shoot for Cherry Stems, and I did a photo shoot with Hella Positive Pinup. Both of them, like, pre-transition, and they're, like, femme photo shoots, and those felt really, really fun. But, like, I did a scene with Spit pre-transition, and I have not watched it. And I'm sure it's gorgeous, but, like, I'm femme-presenting, and it came out way later, and I was already, like, midway through my transition, and, like, it feels weird going back to watch it.
Mm-hmm. I have seen that scene. It is beautiful, yeah. But I also totally understand why you wouldn't want to watch it.
Yeah. And the person I shot with is a babe, and anyway.
Yeah, like, I remember sure when I watched that scene for the first time, I was screaming, what a good dick, at the screen.
I know, right? Like, and, like, a bigger dick than I had not seen this human's dick prior to shooting. So, like, we were already rolling, and I was like, I guess we're okay. Like, this is more ambitious than I planned for today, but this is going to be great. I got this.
The big reveal.
Then I, like, started transitioning socially as well as medically, and suddenly became way more comfortable in my body, like, watching my own porn and feeling more masked and stuff, and now I'm like, oh, I want to do this all the time. That was the missing key. That was why it always felt like I always had a hard time feeling sexy, and it was because I was trying to do it as a girl. And right. I was like, oh, right, this all makes so much more sense now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I think that one of the things that's so powerful about it is it, in some ways, if you're making it yourself, it gives you an ability to write your own sexual narrative and present yourself sexually the way that you want to. Yeah, for me, I also was, like, obsessed with Suicide Girls as a child, which is probably kind of fucked up, but whatever. I always remember I, like, had all these Suicide Girls photos on this, like, iPod that I had, and, like, a girl in my 8th grade science class borrowed it and found the porn and was like, what's all this porn doing on here? And I was like, oh, that's my brother's iPod. I'm borrowing it. It's definitely his. Because I just, like, couldn't own up to
throw him under the bus.
Yeah, it's so funny because he would never actually be interested in stuff like that, I think. But
I know, I was going to say, I've met him. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, so like I always kind of was drawn to the idea of doing porn because I think that I wanted to feel and look pretty like the women I was seeing in porn. I don't really have much of an exhibitionist streak. So for me, it wasn't really about like showing off as like a sexual person. I think it was more about like wanting to feel pretty and also wanting to like have the fun adventure of like having sex on camera. So I think the first like porny thing I did was some friends of mine have this studio called Perv Cave Productions, which was doing this series of educational sexy videos where they came over to my house and they interviewed me for about an hour about my history with masturbation and how my masturbation had evolved and how it had affected my sexuality. And then they filmed me masturbating. And I was really, really nervous about it. I kept on my dress and my socks because I just like didn't really want to show off that much of my body. But we did like a vulva show.
That's a hot look, though.
It was a pretty good look. Like, they were the like knee-high socks, yeah. Like,
and the pushed up dress. That's a good thing.
Like, yeah, I've since gotten a lot nakeder on camera, and I think that that's indicative of like increasing body confidence. But yeah, so I did that, and then I am involved a lot with a company here called Spit, which you mentioned, which is a Toronto-based indie porn company that's now won a number of porn awards and honorable mentions and things like that. And they, until recently, were headed up by our artistic director, John B., who is one of the most talented cinematographers I've ever known. And
yeah,
he's shot
amazing.
Me in a few scenes, and he's like just captured me in these ways that make me feel so, so beautiful. And then I've also done like naked photo shoots with our friend Taylor J. Mace. Like, I did this, you and me both did like a naked shoot in the Glad Day bookshop, which is this queer bookshop. Like, we both just like separately, like, each got naked in the bookshop, and that was really fun. I love like pin-up style photography.
Same.
Yeah. I also did a shoot for Cherry's Thames, which you mentioned. So, like, I put on all this, like, rockabilly clothing and, like, red lipstick and winged eyeliner and stuff and went out into this, like, little forest in a park and got naked and filleted an ice cream cone, and it was so much fun.
That was such a good set.
I loved doing that. It was a delight. Being naked outdoors is wonderful.
Yeah, I definitely want to do more work with John B. They're doing Dip Films now. And I really, because, like, their shooting style is amazing.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite, like, fun facts about that is they come from, like, they're inspired a lot by wedding videos.
Yeah,
which
I
is
love
a
that.
Weird place to get inspiration from porn, but it winds up giving you this, like, really gorgeously lit, gorgeously shot porn that is just like aesthetic.
It's like romantic in a way and focuses on small details and small moments, and also like lighting is very, very important in John's work. And yeah, I like that was one thing that really hooked me on doing porn, I think, is like seeing myself in those videos and photos and being like, holy shit, I look prettier than I think I have ever looked in my life, which is not at all what I thought was going to happen. I thought I was going to see it and be like, oh my god, I can't believe I look like that. I never want to have sex again. I never want to subject anyone to the sight of me during sex. It actually, like, when I looked at it, I was like, oh, like, I should have more sex because more people need to see this.
Yeah, I also have a scene coming out from Cine Sinclair in probably a month or so, and that's another studio that does like really, really gorgeously shot porn. And I'm really excited to see that one because that one I did very recently. I did it during Playground Conference, so I have a more like masculine look to me. And it's the first like gay porn I've done with a partner with like a studio and stuff, and I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, Cine Sinclair is headed up by our friend Kate Sinclair, who is an incredible, wonderful person, also with an amazing eye.
Yeah.
Her porn is beautiful. I've seen it on big screens, and it's stunning.
Yeah, and it's the video version of Cherry Stems. They're related. I don't know that the video version is the best way to put that, but
no, it's definitely more hardcore than Cherry Stems. There's like sex acts and stuff going in holes.
Yeah, exactly. But head up by the same people.
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they're considering doing porn, are very nervous about it. They're nervous that maybe their parents or grandparents are going to see it, or future employers are going to see it, or whatever. Did you have any, like, apprehensions about repercussions when you decided to start doing porn?
Ah. So, like, family stuff, yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, part of my family knows that I blog. Part of my family found my blog.
Yes.
And when they did, there was a recent post about exhibitionism on there. And they were like, and it sounds like you might want to do, like, porn? And I was like, no! What? No! I would never do that. So, like, slight nervousness about, like, family finding out, because there are parts of my family that would give that serious side eye, but I also don't think it's super likely, and if it does, like, I'll figure it out. They wouldn't disown me. I'd just get a lecture on how it might impact my future. But also, like, I do a lot of sex education, and I've, like, been on TV doing kink education, and, like, there's no putting that back in the box.
Yeah.
And at this point, like, I'm not going to be a politician. I'm not going to work with children. Like, that's already out the window. Mm-hmm. So, like, might as well double down. Have my ass out, too. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, that was kind of how I felt about it, too. Because, like, for a long time, I was anonymous on my sex blog. I wasn't using my name or my face connected to my blog because I was very worried about, like, what if I want to do a different career someday? And then
I was
the more
thinking
that
about
I...
that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was thinking about that recently, and now selfies are such a part of your brand. And I was like, once upon a time, Kate did not post selfies.
I know. It's absurd. But, like, it makes sense. Like, I was 19 when I started my blog, so, like, it makes sense why I decided to do that. But... it became increasingly clear as I was doing more sex writing for other publications and stuff that, like, this was probably going to be my career, if not for my entire life, then, like, at least for a good chunk of it. So I started using my face and my name, and then slowly started posting more and more sexy photos, and then there was a point at which I was like, well, I don't know, like, I've always been interested in doing porn. Like, there's really, it didn't feel like a leap for me. Like, it was just, like, such a small step to take at that point. Wasn't really a big deal. And as far as, like, telling family and stuff, my mom sometimes, like, takes me out for dinner, and, like, we usually get pretty drunk, and then I end up telling her things that I didn't, like, intend to tell her, but I'm not, like, keeping them from her. I just didn't go into that evening thinking I was gonna tell her this information. But I remember she took me out for dinner, and this was, like, a couple years ago, and I was like, yeah, I'm doing blowjob porn soon. And, which, like, that's maybe my favorite porn scene that I've done, actually, is this, like, POV blowjob scene that I shot with Spit, with a fuck buddy of mine who, like, I was complaining on Twitter that, like, I had never done blowjob porn, and blowjob porn is my favorite genre of porn, POV in particular, and this fuck buddy of mine, like, DM'd me, and he was like, hey, like, I will be the dick for that if you want, and I was so excited, and then John B. shot it, and it's stunning, But yeah, I told my mom about it, and she did not seem surprised at all. She was like, oh, are you nervous? Like, that sounds like it's going to be cool. I don't think she wants to see it. Well, she probably wants to see it, but I'm not going to show it to her.
Yeah, no.
So you mentioned Suicide Girls. Who else is, like, a tastemaker or a role model to you in the world of porn?
Oof. Definitely... Crash Pad and Bonus Hole Boys, and like a lot of stuff on Pink and White, especially Bonus Hole Boys, though, because it's gay porn with trans guys, which you don't see a lot of. So also, like, a lot of trans guy performers like James Darling and Victor Belmont and Sid St. Vincent are all really big, like, just people like me that I see doing porn, which is also super valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, CrashPad's definitely a big one for me too. There's also queerporn.tv, which I'm not sure if they're like still making stuff, but when I first became interested in like queer and indie porn, they were a big name. And in particular, Tina Horn, who we would love to have on this show sometime. We should really try to set that up.
We should.
I'm very, very into her on many levels. She's a fantastic writer, amazing porn performer, and I think porn director sometimes, and journalist and podcaster. But I remember she did a few scenes for like queer porn and for some other places where she was wearing like, I don't know, like booty shorts and cowboy boots.
That sounds like a Tina Horn outfit.
Yeah, and just kind of like giggling and being silly and having a great ass, and just like she really introduced me to this style of like casual fun femininity that you don't see a lot of in porn, because like most of our images of femininity in porn are like very, very high glamour, like tons of makeup and like high heels and uncomfortable looking positions and stuff. And I really, really liked Tina's approach to it always, and that's kind of like the porn I would like to make, and the porn I have made is like very giggly and silly, and I'm wearing what I'm comfortable in for the most part.
Okay, so that scene with Tina Horn and Dylan Ryan, though,
That is a queer porn scene. So that there's this scene where Tina Horn and Dylan Ryan, who are both cis women, are dressed as boys, and they have like really rough sex in like a dungeon. And there's like spanking and ass worship, like a
leather sling,
and like strap-on sex, and they're calling each other sir and boy, and it's just so much. I definitely had some like several kink awakenings watching that scene,
just one after another.
Yeah, really, which is like kind of like aspirational, because like I would hope that someone is like watching my porn or reading my writing or whatever, and being like, oh, that's a new kink I didn't know I had.
Yeah, Victor goals. Belmont does a scene that just starts with two boys fighting over the last slice of pizza, which is just perfection. And then the scene ends with Victor bent over and getting fucked from behind and eating the slice of pizza. And it's just so good.
Oh man, give me a pizza that. I also think I got to shout out Beautiful Agony, because they were also very, very foundational around the same time that I was devouring Suicide Girls illicitly at probably age 12 to 14. Beautiful Agony, if you haven't seen it, it's videos of like regular ass people having orgasms, but shot only from like the shoulders up. So you just get their face and their sounds. And maybe you can kind of get a sense of what's going on underneath the line of the camera, if there's like sounds or shadows or something. But for the most part, you're just looking at the person's face. And that stuff to me has always been what's really hot, like in porn and in sex, is like people's faces and sounds and reactions and the shit that they say. More so than looking at genitals, although I'll also look at a good pair of genitals any day. A pair of genitals? Are genitals paired? I mean,
in porn, generally, they're paired.
Yeah, true.
Like, there's solo stuff, but... yeah. I think they come in pairs a lot. Quads, triads.
I come in pairs sometimes, too. Oh, God, this show. Why does this show happen?
Why do people listen to us?
What scared you about making porn when you started to do it?
Oof. There's a lot of desirability stuff wrapped up in porn. Mm-hmm. That's especially scary right now, like figuring out how to market myself as like a trans guy that hasn't had top surgery but is on hormones but like isn't hairy enough to super pass when I'm naked. Mm-hmm. So like all of these like complicated feelings about, also especially like about, am I more desirable if people think I'm a woman? Because I was a cute girl, like real cute.
Well, you're an incredibly like, cute boy though, so
right, like in theory. But that's definitely where most of my nervousness comes from. Is there's a lot of weight on like when you're making porn, you're saying, hey, I'm hot enough to be looked at. Don't you want to look at me?
Right.
Which
right,
is right. a bold proposition.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I am fairly arrogant most of the time. Yeah. But, like, when I first clicked publish on my store, I got, like, this wave of shame that I was like, this is a new feeling. just gonna process, breathe our way through it. It's fine. And then, like, a couple hours later, I was pretty okay. Mm-hmm. But, like, for the first few hours, I was like,
Yeah, same. Like, not, I mean, yeah. I don't have the gender stuff to contend with, but, like,
right.
it, when, like, watching and making my own porn definitely brings up feelings of, like, I'm not hot, and, like, who would want to watch this? And also, like, for me, it gets into also, like, not just porn, but sex stuff, because I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is what my partners have to look at when they're fucking me, and, like, I don't know, like, why does anyone fuck me? Like, this is especially about stuff that I shoot myself, like, just on my webcam, because that's the stuff that doesn't look as nice, where I'm like, oh, God, why would anyone want to fuck me? But then it comes back to the thing I always say about how, like, sometimes you just have to trust your own attractiveness to other people, and it's like an ice cream flavor. Like, I believe you when you tell me your favorite ice cream flavor is your favorite, even if I don't agree with you, I believe that it's your favorite. So, like, some of my favorite memories about porn have been times when I've been too nervous to watch a scene that I was in, so I watched it for the first time with a friend like you, or with a partner, sometimes even the partner who I made the scene with, and kind of, like, watched it through my fingers because I was, like, afraid to look. And then to have them be like, you look so pretty, or, like, you're doing such a good job, like, it kind of helped me remember that, like, even if I'm being very, very critical watching it, like, other people are probably going to be a little more charitable when they watch it. And also, like, not everybody's going to like your porn, and that's fine. Like, you're not for everybody. That's not the point. That's not how porn works. That's not how attractiveness works. It's fine.
Yeah, I used to find it really helpful to, like, every scene I made got sent to my partner before I sent it to anyone else. Mm-hmm. And that was super helpful to be able to do that, because then he would message me back and be like, oh my God, you're so hot. And I'd be like, I know, right? but it was a lot easier to have that, like, background layer of reassurance.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite, most treasured porn memories was when I started dating my current boyfriend. We, like, went on a first date, and then just because of timing and distance things, we were not able to fuck for a month after that, but we were, like, having a lot of phone sex and sexting things, and he was talking a lot about how he was excited for me to blow him for the first time, and he wanted to know what that would be like. So I sent him a link to my POV blowjob video, and I watched it with him over the phone, and just, like, listened to him reacting to watching me give head, and it was, like, the most satisfying thing, because he was making all these sounds of, like, someone who very much wants to be experiencing what he's seeing and can't right
yeah.
now. It was so good. Okay, so what do you like about making porn? What is, like, empowering or exciting to you about it?
I just really get off on being watched. Mm-hmm. So, like, when I'm making porn, I'm not fantasizing about anything. I'm, like, looking at the camera on me. Mm-hmm. And often, like, I'm filming on my phone. And because I'm filming myself, I have to be able to see what I'm doing. So I'll use the front-facing camera so that I can make sure I'm always in frame and, like, lined up properly. So I'm usually jerking off to watching myself. which is a very me thing to be doing, really. we come back to that arrogant bit there. so, like, for me, it's just hot. Like, I'm just into that. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish I had a more nuanced or interesting answer, but that's about it.
No, I mean, I think that's a great reason to do porn. There are so many reasons why people do it, and that is a fun one. I'm for sure not an exhibitionist. Like, I don't get turned on really at the idea of people watching me, and sometimes it's, like, actively a horrifying thought to me because I'm so anxious. But I think the times that I've done porn with partners, there has been an element of it of, like, performativity and also intimacy interlocking in the same way that I felt when I used to do improv and stuff like that, where it was like, oh, we're putting on this fun show together, and so you have this, like, camaraderie, that there's a camera pun in there somewhere. But it's really, it's like a fun intimacy. Like, I remember when I shot that POV blowjob scene, we went into my room afterward and, like, I gave dude another blowjob after, as kind of like aftercare and like come down. And I felt like very, very connected to him and stuff after we shot that together. I think also, like, the money has always been, like, a motivating factor for me, like, specifically with cam shows, which are a whole different thing. But every time I've done a cam show, even if it made me super, super nervous to do it, and I was, like, maybe kind of uncomfortable while it was going on, afterward, I always felt so good about myself and my body and my value and worth as a human, because, like, someone paid to watch me jerk off or to watch me, like, give head to a blowjob or give head to a dildo. I heard you like blowjobs, so I put a blowjob in your blowjob. And I think, like, obviously there are so many ways to measure our value as humans, and, like, just because someone's not paying you to watch you do those things doesn't mean that you have no value, but, like, that was a little...
But, like, also it's really fun when they do.
Yes, exactly. And it just, it really made me sometimes feel good about myself on days when I couldn't find that feeling any other way. And that's a very empowering and nice feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, the money is definitely hot, too. I mean, we talked about this in the money episode, but...
Yeah.
Super hot.
Yeah, and it's, like, as a person who's, like, marginalized in some ways, like, for me, like, as a woman, it's interesting to kind of, like, subvert the way that the capitalist patriarchy aims to marginalize people like me and to actually make money off it. So, like, you know, women are sexually objectified a ton, but for me to be able to directly profit off that is very, very profoundly satisfying to me as a woman and as a feminist and as a person who needs money to live. So, yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
Was there anything that surprised you about making or being in porn when you started to do it?
I was surprised by how much, like, so I always put off looking at my own stuff. But when I got more serious about making my own porn, I actually really enjoy filming and photographing myself, because I can take a million pictures or take a huge piece of video and then go through all of it and get rid of what I don't like. And that's actually, like, I really enjoy that, and I did not expect to enjoy editing. I used to put it off forever because I'm like, ugh, I have to look at myself. Ugh.
Yeah.
But, like, when I was editing the videos for my ManyVids store, I would watch them and be like, I'm hot. Look at me. Look at me. That's, I should do more. That's the other thing. Like, it turns me on not because I'm hot, but because I remember what that felt like. And I'm like, yeah, that was fun. I should do more of that. I should. That's right. I like jerking off. I forgot. What about you? What surprised you?
It's always surprising to me to see what my face does in sexy situations. Yeah. Because I'm just so not aware of that when I'm actually having sex or jerking off. I remember being very surprised by how still I stay. Because in my head, I guess I'm, like, fantasizing and a lot is going on. And it feels like I should be more dynamic, but, like, I'm not. Like, I'm usually, like, very still, which I think is interesting that, like, I mean, this is obvious, I'm sure, to many people, but I hadn't really thought about it before, is that porn performing in porn is a different skill set in some ways from, like, being good at sex or having a vibrant sex life or whatever, because, like, you do have to kind of, like, turn up the performativity if you're not naturally a performative-looking sort of person when you have sex, which was a conversation that came up a lot when I went to the first feminist porn conference, is, like, this question of authenticity, because, like, this is a conversation we're always having in, like, indie and queer porn in particular, is, like, what is authentic porn? Because, like, people want to see what they call authentic sex, but, like, if there's a camera on you, inherently there's some element of performativity that's going to, like, skew what you're doing in some way. So I find it interesting to observe, like, how my internal responses change as a result of me making an effort to be more performative. It's kind of like conversations we've had about, like, faking orgasms and how sometimes for some people that can actually increase their enjoyment of sex. And I've found that, like, if I'm putting on a show for, like, a cam show client or something, and I'm, like, really kind of amping up my breathing and my moaning and my moving around and my facial expressions, it can actually, like, get me into my body in this way that helps me enjoy what I'm doing more than I ordinarily might. So that's been useful stuff to learn.
Yeah, part of, like, the exhibitionist stuff for me is, like, I have, like, jerked off at the thought of film. Like, I have been too lazy to set up, like, a camera and lights and whatever, mm-hmm. but also jerked off in that really performative way, and, like, thinking about being watched and thinking about what I look like while I'm doing what I do.
Yeah.
And that's, like, that's also super fun and super hot. So, like, I'm being performative, but also for my own benefit. And
right.
I think there's a, like, the line there is not as clear as some people want to make it seem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, like, even sex itself can be a performative interaction in the sense that, like, there's another person there who you're trying to make happy in some way, probably. And so sometimes you might amp up your reactions to kind of achieve that effect. Like, I don't really make much noise when I'm jerking off by myself, but, like, if I'm doing it with a partner, I'm definitely making a lot more noise. It's interesting to play with that kind of spectrum from, like, very internal to very externalized responses to things.
Yeah.
I think the other thing that just always surprises me about doing porn is that, like, no matter what you look like or what your deal is, there are people out there who are going to find you hot. And that has been such an important lesson for me to learn as, like, a chronically insecure person. Like, it's honestly, like, one of the core lessons that I've taken away from being in porn and, like, creating sexual media in general is, like, even if I'm having, like, a super bad body image day and I'm like, no one will ever love me again and why would anyone want to fuck me? Like, there's always people who would want to fuck me. Always. Like, they're out there. They're in my DMs, you know? Or they're not. They're just, like, out there, and I don't even necessarily know about them, but they do exist, and it's been a nice reminder to do porn and have people drooling over it.
yeah, absolutely. I had someone in my DMs the other day literally complimenting my asshole, so that's... welcome and to porn life, I guess.
That's happened to you before, hasn't it?
Yeah, I had a hookup once who also complimented my asshole, and I'm like, that's a weird, okay, I guess, I don't, he called it cute,
mm-hmm.
which is a strange word to have applied to your own asshole, but, you know, I guess this is where we are.
I think you can put that on your testimonials page.
I've considered putting it in my Tinder bio. there's already a fisting joke in there. Might as well double down.
So you've talked a lot about watching your own porn while you're making it and maybe afterward. Would you jerk off to your own porn?
I don't know that I'd jerk off while watching it. I have jerked off into, like, while watching myself in a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And I always forget how hot that is. But I don't know that I would, like, watch my own porn and, like, jerk off while watching it. But I also don't usually jerk off while watching porn. I watch porn and then go, I should go jerk off. and like I said, I have a similar response to my own porn, but for different reasons.
Mm. Yeah. I have very occasionally jerked off to my own porn, but it's always more about the other person who's in the scene. Like, it's always kind of, I wanted to fantasize maybe about this particular person or this particular sex act, so I want to revisit that scene. And I'm always kind of, like, tuning myself out and, like, cringing at myself a little bit, because I'm just, like, so not attracted to myself. Like, I just can't. And then there have definitely been times also where I've, like, watched porn scenes and cried. Because of, like, emotional stuff that was wrapped up with those people sometimes.
I mean, that's the same thing for you, isn't it?
Yes. Emotional masturbation. Yes. Self-inflicted emotional masochism. It's the worst. Why do I do this to myself? I do jerk off to my own journal entries sometimes, though. because
of course you do.
Yeah, because they're just like well-written retellings of excellent sex I've had. So like, why the hell not? They're great.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. Curious.
Mm-hmm.
What your dream porn scene is. Like, what porn haven't you shot that you want to?
So I really like spanking porn, which has been an interesting thing to learn about myself, like, because I guess I thought of spanking as being, like, not a particularly interesting thing to watch, especially because, like, when I'm being spanked, I really go inside my own head, and I'm really not aware of what the visuals are looking like. But, like, even the other night, I went to the documentary about Melina Williams and her husband, and there was a scene where they were both, like, fully clothed, and it was just sort of this, like, sweet domestic spanking scene, and I found myself getting turned on, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm kinky.
Did you see the short film Melina did about spanking?
Yes, Impact. Yeah. They used a little bit of it in the film as well, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I've done some spanking porn as a bottom, and actually one of my favorite scenes that I've done for Spit, you can actually see a bruise coming up on my ass in real time, and it's one of my favorite moments in any of the porn I've done. It's really cool to see. I would love to do more spanking porn, and I would love to do spanking porn as a top, because that's a rare thing where I enjoy topping. I also would love
to do... If you want to do non-sexual spanking scene, you can hit me.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm down. Giggly best friend. Excellent. Spanking porn? Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
I also would love to do more porn where I'm, like, dressed up, like, very, like, high glamour. Like, I bought, like, fancy, like, fetishy stockings and... I'd love to, like, wear high heels and, like, a velvet dress and, like, maybe incorporate some, like, smoking fetish stuff or something. I would like to
kind of... Can you be high femme and smoking and beating the hell out of me?
Oh, yes. That sounds excellent. Yeah. And I think schoolgirl fantasy porn would be a fave for me. Like, I'd love to shoot somewhere like the Ritual Chamber here in Toronto, where they have, like, a very realistic-looking... schoolroom kind of set up with, like, lockers and a chalkboard and, like, a desk to bend over and stuff.
Very good.
Yeah, because that fantasy is big for me, and I think it translates very well to the visual medium. How about you? Dream porn scenes?
So I really want to do more gay shit.
the backstory. Like,
yeah, exactly. But, like... Gay gangbang is definitely, like, on the list. Like, locker room gangbang type stuff, because I'm a cliche. I want to do blowjob porn, mm-hmm. like, POV blowjob porn, because I haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I want to do? I don't know, just lots of really, really gay things. I want just more, like, masculine energy in my porn. I also, like, am really into, like, femdom stuff lately and the aesthetic of that. Mm-hmm. So, like, I want a pretty femme to beat me up.
Hi, hello.
Yeah. I was gonna say, which is why when you were, like, spanking top, I was like, yes!
I will look so pretty for you. It'll be great.
Yes.
Okay, so before we wrap up, tell folks where they can find your porn. This is really what this all has built to, is for folks to go see you naked and doing filthy shit.
So I'm Billy Lore on many vids. If you go to Twitter, go to @BillyLore. The links are all there. There is a free video there that's me giving a blowjob to a dildo on the roof. Because, you know, as you do... There's also a bunch of other videos up there. I have, I think, 7 now. My favorite is one also on my roof where I'm just, like, bullying the camera and smoking weed, and then I make the camera suck my dick, which is great. And then I jerk off and squirt all over my roof because that's probably fine, and that's not a public space or anything. So, you know, nothing to worry about.
Love a good roof squirt.
Yeah. And I'm working on figuring out camming stuff, so I might be doing that in the future, so follow me on Twitter for updates on that. I just get more awkward because you have to, like, entertain people for long periods of time, so I don't know how that's gonna work, but...
Yeah, camming is a whole different thing, and I've thought many times about quitting, but I always just get dragged back in. I don't know. I do not have, like, central hubs for my porn or anything. People often in my real life ask me how to get, like, for advice on how to get into camming, and I don't have advice because honestly what happens is, like, people DM me and are like, I read your shit, or, like, I follow your tweets, and I am interested in seeing you naked, basically. And then I give them my camming rates, or I try to sell them a clip or something. Yeah, so if you're interested in seeing my porn, just send me a DM on Twitter. I'm at girly_juice, and we can probably set something up. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I hope that if you have porn ambitions, it gave you some fun stuff to think about and maybe made you want to leap into it. I will give you the piece of advice that our friend Kate Sinclair has given me many times, which is, if you're thinking about doing porn but you're not sure, think about the last person you would ever want to see it, seeing it, and if you can live with that, then you can do it. But if you can't, then don't do it. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where's your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find me at BexTalkSex on Twitter and Instagram, and all of my writing at BexTalkSex.com. This month, I'm celebrating my 1 year on T, which is May 30th.
Yay.
Yeah, so every Friday this month, I'm posting a different post about what the past year has looked like. So this week I did one on my identities and my social transition that is actually, like, really good and is getting a lot of really good feedback. So go check that out at BexTalkSex.com.
It's very, very good.
Yeah. On Friday there will be a post about how my body has changed. So that one's going to be a little bit more clinical, but is going to talk about all, like, the physical changes I've noticed. I'm doing one on my mental health and then one on my sexuality. And there will also be a giveaway coming up. So stay tuned for that. Together with the Dildorks, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks or by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. If you want to support us, rate and review us while you're there. It brings us up in the charts and makes us easier for other folks to find. If you want to throw money at us, which we like, you can go to patreon.com/thedildorks. Toss us a couple bucks per episode. Helps us keep doing cool things like going to conferences. You can find us at Woodhull Sexual Freedom Summit in August. All the info for that is at sexualfreedomsummit.org. Come out and see us. It's one of my favorite events of the year.
Yeah, they just announced the schedule for that, and we had already announced that we were doing a live Dildorks episode there, which I'm always excited to do those, but we're also speaking on a panel with Kevin Patterson and Dirty Lola, both of whom have been on this show before and are amazing. It's a panel about storytelling as activism, and I'm very excited about that, so come join us. Thank you so much to Protodome for letting us use his song I Want You in My Bedroom as our theme song. His music is all at protodome.bandcamp.com, and thank you as always to Amy, who did our logo for us. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
Bye.
And then I also did a shoot for Stary. I'm going to say that again. I didn't say any of that, right?
You gave me these questions in advance, and I did not prepare.
The Beck story.
Yep. I looked at them and went, those seem like reasonable questions. They're porn related. Also, I recognize I just asked you to do porn on the podcast, so, like, feel free to, like, be like, no, asshole.
No, I mean, we've kind of, like, talked about that before.
That's what I figured.
Yeah, no, it's fine. But, like, if I wanted to say no to you, I would say no to you. Like, we're at that point. We're fine.
Yeah. I figured, but then I realized in context, I was like, oh, like, we're recording this, and that was maybe not the best time.
I appreciate your consent. Yay, ethics, consent. No. Yeah.
Okay. I just got very excited. Anyway,